Well, you may be seated. Invite you to take out your Bibles. This morning, we have a special guest that's joining our ministry team here at The Rock, and someone I respect probably more than nearly anyone I know in his relationship with the Lord, and he's a pastor here at The Rock now, helping us launch Impact 195. It's a whole training school to raise up you to take what's happening here and to launch it here locally around San Diego, around the United States and the world. And so why don't you welcome with me Pastor George Clariade, new to The Rock team here. God bless you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Hey, good to be with you this morning. I'm excited. My name's George. Thanks. As Mickey said, you know, I'm kind of the new guy here on staff, but been walking with the Lord for 37 years. I got saved when I was 5 years old, so you can do the math and figure out how old I am. Been married for 17 years to the most wonderful woman in the world. Her name's Nanette. I have two glorious children, Jackson and Eliana. Been a pastor for 18 years. 9 of those years was on the mission field in Russia, Austria, and Mexico. For the past 7 years, I've been directing the Horizon School of Evangelism, and all of that culminating to be here right now with you. So I'm excited to be a part of the team and to be serving you here at The Rock. What I want to talk about today is having a life of impact as we're launching this new training program called Impact 195. The 195 stands for there's 195 countries in the world. I don't know if you knew that. 195 countries. When I heard that, I was like, you know, that's doable. That's like you, right? That's about 195 of you. We're going to take you today. So don't worry. We got suitcases for you. We got a ticket to somewhere in the world. We're sending you. And if all of you went, there it is. We touched the world. Wouldn't it be cool if as a church, we could touch the world in one generation? We could send the gospel to every single country. And I believe that God is going to call some of you today to do just that. We're going to be looking at the life of David in 1 Samuel 17. So if you've got your Bible, take it out. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. Now, the reason I want to talk about having a life of impact is because I believe that God has called each one of you to live a life of significance for His glory. God designed your life to do something marvelous, something incomprehensible to the average person. In Psalm 72, 18, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only does wondrous things." Say wondrous things. God only does wondrous things. He made you, so what does that make you? Something wondrous. God didn't design you for mediocrity. He didn't design you to fit in. He didn't design you to be normal. He designed you to be extraordinary. It's the world that tries to tell you that you need to fit in, that you need to be average. You need to look like this. You need to act like this. You need to have this kind of a life. But God only does wondrous things. If you're one of His, He wants to do something wondrous with you today. Ask any four-year-old. I have 2 4-year-olds. If you ask a four-year-old, what do you want to be when you grow up? What are they going to say? I want to be mediocre. You know, I'm hoping with my life goal to pay the bills. But how many of you, that's what you're living? You've settled for so much less than God actually created you for. God wants you to do more than just pay the bills. God wants you to have an impact on this world for His glory. David understood that. He understood that God only does wondrous things. And so when the opportunity came to go out and face a giant, David knew, hey, this is my moment to let God do something wondrous in my life. So let's read together. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to pick it up in verse 12. This is David as a young man going out to face Goliath. Verse 12. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The name of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. This is Goliath. Now, this is Goliath. That's how tall Goliath actually was. He's actually 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Now, David was about my size, not as good looking or ripped as I am, but why are you laughing? This is what David had to face when he went out into that valley. This was the size that Goliath was, and David, understanding that God only does wondrous things, wasn't looking at the giant, he was looking at his God. So Jesse said to his son David, verse 17, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the army of the Philistines. And as he spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in the same manner, "So it shall be done for him who kills the man." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You've come down to see the battle." And David says, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And then he turned from him towards another and said the same thing, and they answered him as the first one did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I can't walk with these, for I've not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So when the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, the man who bore the shield went before him. And the Philistine, when he looked about, saw David and disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you, I'll take your head from you, and this day I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistine fell all along the road to Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Now in your bulletin, you've got a lesson plan. Everybody take out their lesson plan. I'm going to give you an acronym today, IMPACT, I-M-P-A-C-T, what it means to have a life of impact. Now, it's interesting, as we talked about, God only does wondrous things. He doesn't do mediocre things. You know what the word mediocre means? Means in the middle. Means in the middle. It's interesting in our story, you've got these two armies that are lining up with a valley, a low spot in the middle. And when Goliath comes out, the Bible calls him the champion of the Philistines. That word, champion, you know what it actually means? In the Hebrew, it means literally the man in the middle. So here, David is standing in front of a valley of mediocrity, facing a giant of mediocrity. I believe as Christians that the greatest battle, the most significant challenge, the largest giant in your life is not some bad thing that might happen to you, but that you would have nothing happen in your life at all. See, the devil knows that once Jesus has you, he can't take you for eternity. You're Jesus's. Jesus has got you in the palm of his hand. He said, "No one can take you out of my hand." So the devil knows he can't take you, so he's going to take your life and just make it middle of the road so that you won't do what God has actually called you to do. Your greatest challenge, my greatest challenge, is not that something bad would happen, because Jesus can work all things for good. The worst thing that could happen in our lives is absolutely nothing. That we would settle into that valley of mediocrity, that we would surrender to the giant of mediocrity in our life and settle for far less than God has designed us to do. Now, the I in IMPACT stands for integrity. Integrity, write down integrity. Integrity is being someone who can actually do something. Being someone who can actually do something. We see David show integrity in three main areas of his life. Notice in verse 20, what's the first thing David does? He gets up early. David shows integrity with his time. His father had sent him on a mission, And David gets up early, doesn't sleep in, doesn't procrastinate, doesn't think, I'm just going to take it easy today. Might be traffic. I'm just going to chill at home, maybe watch, you know, Sports Center before I head off. If David had waited an hour, he would have missed the defining moment of his life. Because he shows up in our story to battle right as Goliath is coming out. If he had been an hour later, he would have missed the defining moment of his life. So people say, oh, it's not that big of a deal to be late. Unless, of course, you miss the most important moment of your life. David shows integrity with the time. He also shows integrity with his tasks. Notice, before he goes, he had a previous task he had been assigned to watch his father's sheep. In verse 20, what does David do with the sheep before he heads off on this new assignment? Don't look at me. It's not written on me anywhere. In the text, what does it say? Verse 20. He leaves them with a keeper. David is responsible with the sheep that he's been entrusted with. He doesn't just bail on them because he's got a new opportunity. If you're faithful to keep the sheep today, you may get to kill a giant tomorrow. David's also faithful with his treasure. I know. His dad has handed him these 10 cheeses to take to the big cheese of the army. And notice, when David gets to battle, the whole army's going out and shouting. And I don't know, if I was an 18-year-old and I see this whole army going out, I'd have just jettisoned the cheese and run to see what's happening. But David stops by the supply guy and leaves the cheese there for the big cheese. Now, these may seem like insignificant things. Get up early, take care of the sheep, leave the cheese with the supply guy. But Jesus said, he who is faithful in little will be faithful with much. David had a sense of stewardship, finished what he was sent to go do. Impact starts with integrity. Integrity gives you confidence, and it gives other people confidence in you. Everyone wants to do something significant with their life, but very few people take the time to build the integrity necessary to do something significant. Take marriage, for example. How many people want a great marriage? Everyone wants a great marriage. Nobody wants a lousy marriage. Some of you have had those, huh? You're like, no, you don't want that. Had that one. Everyone, you know, they're looking for that guy of their dreams, and then they get married and they can't wait to get rid of this nightmare of a guy. If you're going to have a great marriage, you need the integrity while you're dating. Ladies, just keeping it real, if he can't keep it in his pants and his hands out of yours, he doesn't have the integrity to be a great husband. You just need to get rid of him right now. It's faithfulness with the little things that gives you the opportunity to have integrity when the big things come. When we start Impact 195, it's going to be a place, 9 months, where you can build integrity. Rock solid integrity that will prepare you to have an impact. So I stands for integrity. M stands for, I heard a mission. Yeah, mission. David had a mission. Mission means that you have a purpose bigger than yourself. That you have a purpose bigger than yourself. Not that you have a paycheck bigger than your coworker. Not that you have a house bigger than your neighbor. Not that you have a boat bigger than anyone else's in the bay. Having a mission means you have a purpose that's actually bigger than you. When everyone saw Goliath in verse 23 and 24, what was their reaction? They were afraid of him and they ran from him. They saw Goliath as a problem to run from. When David saw Goliath, what did he do? Saw him as an opportunity to run towards. Not a giant of a problem, but a giant of an opportunity. See, having a purpose bigger than yourselves comes from having a God that's bigger than your circumstances. How many of you are facing a giant problem in your life? How many of you have a God that's bigger than that problem? And see, maybe we need to rethink our circumstances. Maybe we need to think differently about God. Maybe losing your job isn't a disaster, but a divine redirection. Maybe God is saying, hey, enough of living for yourself. Try living for me on occasion. Maybe that breakup is actually God breaking you free from the bondage of a relationship you shouldn't even be in anyway. Maybe that great disappointment is God deepening your character to prepare you for the next season. What was David's mission? He wanted to have an impact on Goliath. When David threw that stone and hit Goliath in the forehead, you could say he had an impact. What's your mission? Do you have a cause greater than paying the bills? Do you have a mission beyond being successful? See, that's what the world does because they know that only, the devil knows only a few people can actually be successful. That everyone, if everyone tries to be successful, tries their best, what are we all going to do? Be the same. That makes us average. And so this is the lie the devil gets you into, that you need to rise like the world rises, but in reality, all you do is rise like the tide. You just move up with everybody else. Maybe you could have a mission of digging wells in Ethiopia, bringing fresh water to kids so they stop dying of dysentery. Maybe you could mentor inner city kids or evangelize Muslims in the Middle East. Teach English in China. Do AIDS testing in Botswana. Maybe you could have a mission bigger than just you. I know people say, well, I think God's calling me to live in San Diego and earn a good income. I'm cool with that, but if God has called you to live here and earn a good income, if you are called, live like it. And realize that God didn't give you those resources to indulge yourself, but to have an impact for Him. You want to earn a lot of money? Earn as much as you can, but lean your life down and give away as much as possible. I do believe that God is calling some of you to earn a great income, but it's not so that you can show how much better you are, but so that you can have a bigger impact for God's glory. And there are going to be some of you that are going to get called to go out, and you don't have two nickels to rub together. God's going to hook you up with someone who's going to say, hey, let me help. What if your mission in life was to say, I'm going to support 100, our family is going to support 100 missionaries in our lifetime. That's our contribution to the kingdom of heaven. Or you say, you know, I'm going to go take China for Jesus. Hudson Taylor did it. Why can't I? He didn't even have Twitter, right? What's your mission? Don't settle for a career when you could have a calling. Don't settle for success when you could have significance. Don't settle for instant gratification when you, by God's grace, could have an eternal impact. How big is your mission? Where will it take you? You know, David's mission was so big, it caused him to be king. How big is your mission for the glory of God? I stands for? M stands for? P stands for? Preparation. Preparation. See, integrity and a sense of mission weren't good enough for David. God had actually prepared him in advance to fight Goliath. In verse 34 through 36, David talks about fighting lions, fighting bears, these small victories in the past that prepared him for a greater victory today. His past experience of seeing God deliver him. Years of sitting out under the stars thinking about how amazing God is. Preparation takes time. You know, when God wants to make a mushroom, it takes about 6 hours. When He wants to make an oak tree, it takes about 60 years. What do you want to be, a fungus or a force to be reckoned with? But if all you do is come to church once a week and you think, that's it, that's going to prepare me, you're probably more likely going to be a fungus. This slow growth that kind of spreads. Instead of an oak tree, something solid that other people can lean on. Think about how much time we spend in our lives getting prepared to be secular. how much time we spend being taught by the world how to fit into the world. 12 to 16 years for most of us. How much spiritual preparation have you had in comparison? Impact 195 is an opportunity to take 9 months out of your life and say, God, prepare me. Prepare me. I'm tired of being like the world. I've got it down. Most people don't even know that I'm a Christian. I'm so good. I'm so prepared to be secular. Instead of saying, God, here I am, here's my life, change me, prepare me to be like Jesus. Now, it's interesting, as David steps up to the plate to go out and face this giant, Saul tries to equip him with his armor. Now, think about this. Here's David, this young guy, ready to rock it for Jesus, and Saul says, here, take my armor. David puts it on the defense mechanisms of an older generation. I know when I was growing up, my parents said, you know, what you need to do is go to college. All right, that will prepare you for success. Well, maybe college is someone else's armor, and it's not going to fit what God does in your life. How many of you have a college degree that you're not using? How many of you are still paying for it? All right, maybe it's just an old defense mechanism that kept our parents safe, but it isn't what God's calling us to. Don't get weighed down with a degree you can't use and a debt you can't pay. Maybe a mortgage isn't the stability that you need. Maybe a 401k won't actually give you the security you're looking for. Most of us, we take all these weights on us because we think they're going to protect us, and we've got the weight of a mortgage, the weight of a car payment. We've got a job with 2 weeks vacation. I've got a cubicle that I sit in and my computer screen and my responsibilities, and I'm so weighed down. Then when God calls and says, George, I want you to go to China, I go, God, I can't. I got all this armor on, right? I'm safe, but I'm not going to have an impact. Maybe the preparation that you need has nothing to do with the world's preparation. And God's going to call you to something unique and extraordinary. David only needed 5 smooth stones. I stands for? M stands for? P stands for? A stands for? Action. Excellent. Somebody's filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. Action. Action is summoning the courage to move forward. Summoning the courage to move forward. David didn't just talk about taking on Goliath. He actually went and did it. He didn't just sit there with his homies and say, you know, watch me, I'm going to take this guy out. You got nothing on me, you know. He didn't just talk smack. David walked the walk. He took his staff in his hand, what he already had. He wasn't looking to be something other than a shepherd. Chose his 5 smooth stones. Had his sling in his hand, ready to do damage. And notice, David didn't walk towards Goliath. He ran. He ran at Goliath. What gave David the courage to run forward? He knew he was on God's side. He knew God only does wondrous things, and he didn't have something ordinary for David, but something extraordinary. God is calling us to be a people of action, not reaction. Don't wait around to see what other people are going to do because it's usually nothing. Take a step forward today. Just a simple step forward. Take a step of kindness today. As you're going through Starbucks today or tomorrow, go through that drive-thru, pay for the person's coffee behind you. I think they've got Rock business cards out front. Take a couple Rock business cards with you and write on there, Jesus loves you. And as you pay for that person's drink, hand it to the checkout lady and say, just give this to them with their drink. Can you imagine if each one of us did an act of kindness in Jesus' name tomorrow, what kind of an impact would we have on San Diego? Thousands of people being touched in love in Jesus' name. You think they talk about it?
craziest thing happened to me at Starbucks today. Some weird Christian paid for my coffee. I don't know if, you know, does that damn me to hell that they took it? You know, I don't know.
You can have an impact just by taking a simple step of kindness. Have courage to move forward to do something for Jesus. Maybe you need to take a step of faith and get rid of some compromises in your life. Some of you ladies, you need to pull out your phone right now and text that jerk of a boyfriend and say, I'm breaking up with you. I'm leaving for you for another man. His name is Jesus. And just be done with him. Some of you guys, you need to go home tonight, today, and just rip that internet cable out of the wall and say, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. You need to take a step forward. Some of you need to go out to the booth and get an application for Impact 195 and say, March 23rd, that's my D-Day. That's when I'm going. My life is going to change. I'm sick of just sitting here doing nothing. I'm going to do something with my life. I stands for M, P, A, C. Courage is good. Commitment. Excellent. Commitment means that you throw your whole self into something. Commitment is throwing your whole self into something. David threw all that he had at Goliath, and he threw it with all his might. No holding back, no wavering, no indecisiveness. And he didn't just throw something smooth at Goliath. He threw something solid. Now, I brought a friend with me. I don't know if you can see him. This is Rocky. He's got a little faux hawk going on there. Rocky is rock smooth. He comes with me to church. He can say, word, Jesus. He's smooth. He's got it all down. But you know, Rocky's not that solid. He's a little fragile in his faith. Doesn't have a lot of integrity. Doesn't have a sense of mission, is not a man of action or preparation. He's not really a guy that's committed. Since he's only rock smooth, he's actually afraid of impact. Wants his life to be in a safe little box. Good house, good car, good job, good health care, good lifestyle, safe. But not significant. Smooth, but not solid. He knows what would happen if he threw his whole self into something. Just another side note for you ladies, because I care about you so much. If you got a guy that can't commit, that means he knows that he's not solid enough for you. What would happen if Rocky threw his whole self at something? What if Rocky had an opportunity to face a Goliath, the giant? What do you think would happen if Rocky were to throw his whole self at a giant? See, that's why Rocky's afraid of impact. But I tell you today, if your life is going to have impact, you can't be afraid of the collision. If your life is going to have impact, you cannot be afraid of the collision. Some of you, you have good intentions your whole life. I'm going to do something for Jesus. But you never throw your whole self into it. You haven't gotten rock solid yet. And you're actually afraid of impact. I want to encourage you today. God is speaking, I believe, to many of your hearts and saying, you know, I've destined you for something more. And it's resonating. And you're realizing that you have a destiny. That maybe as a little kid, you had that sense. You heard about a missionary or you saw something on TV and it tugged your heart. And you said, I want to do something to make a difference. But you've stuffed it for your career. And now you've lost hope. I want to encourage you today that Whether you're 18 or 80 years old, God wants to use your life to make an impact. But you need to make a commitment today. I stands for M, P, A, C, T stands for tenacity. Tenacity. Being tough enough to finish strong. Being tough enough to finish strong. David isn't satisfied with just knocking Goliath on his butt. He goes and chops his head off. David understands what it means to finish strong. This buddy ain't getting up. I'm gonna lop his head off. See, the goal of a race is not to start. It's not to cross the starting line, it's to cross the finishing line. I was a track runner in high school, ran marathons in college, and you know, you never lined up at the starting line. They go, on your mark, get set. And you're like, yeah, woo! Do you see that start? I'm the man, where's my medal? Right now, I know in today's culture, we've got to give you a trophy just because you showed up, because you're special. And you're a snowflake, unique, one of a kind, and your participation is what matters. You know, our kids, they can't read, they can't add, they can't spell, but they sure feel good about themselves. And we've got all this self-esteem when we can't do anything. And as a result, we can't finish what we start. We can't finish our marriages, can't finish pregnancies, can't finish school, can't finish our budgets. We've become a nation of quitters. God doesn't want his church to be a bunch of quitters. He wants his church to have tenacity, to be strong enough, tough enough to finish well. Notice verse 52, that David's tenacity inspired a whole nation to get off their butts and engage the battle. What is your life inspiring in those around you today? What is your life inspiring in those around you today? It's time to stop being like the world and time to start having an impact on it. Now, if God has spoken to your heart today, God has spoken to your heart today, you know that God is calling you to be more than mediocre. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes to stand up in your seat and make a statement. Not to those around you, but a statement to yourself and a statement to God. That God, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. If you know he's calling you to have a life of impact, you know that you've got a destiny. You don't know what it looks like yet. You're not sure what it all means. But you sense in your heart today that God is knocking. He's saying, hey, you hear me? Remember what I made you for. God only does wondrous things. He only does wondrous things. He made you. He designed you to do something wonderful, to have a life of impact. So let's pray. Bow your hearts with me. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the life of David. That as a young man gave us an example of what it means to have real impact. And I pray for those that are struggling with their integrity. Got lots of compromises out there that make them fragile in their faith. That this morning you would grip them by your Holy Spirit. And you would help them to realize that they can't keep going on like they're going on. for those that are aimless and wandering, no sense of mission, no sense of purpose. Speak to their hearts, God. Stir that sense of a cause deep in their hearts that, like David, they could say, is there not a cause for my life? For those that have been prepared by the world but unprepared for the spiritual battle, I pray that you'd give them courage today to take a step of faith. Not to sit there indecisively, but to say, no, I want to stand for Jesus. I want my life to stand for something significant. And I pray you'd give us all a much deeper commitment today. Not a commitment to fit in, to be like the world, to have what the world offers, but a commitment to give our lives fully to you, to throw ourselves totally into what you're calling us to. And God, give us the tenacity as we start 2010 to not just start the year well, but make us tough enough as your church to finish what we start strong. If God has spoken to you today, and you know you've been settling, you've been taking on what the world has given, and you've been ignoring what God has been speaking, I'm going to ask you to stand up right now in your seat. Stand up where you are and say, God, I want my life to have a life, to have impact. Go ahead, stand up. God's been speaking to your heart, and you know that you're called, and you're hearing it, maybe for the first time, or maybe you heard it a long time ago, and you've been ignoring it. Don't ignore it anymore. God wants to do something marvelous with your life. There's more for you than just paying the bills. Don't miss your defining moment. Don't miss your opportunity. You don't have to know what it looks like. You don't have to, you're not going to sign on the dotted line today. We're not going to ship you off to Botswana this afternoon. But you just want to say, God, here I am. Use my life. I'm willing to throw it all in. I'm willing to jump into the deep end. No more indecisiveness, no more wavering, no more weakness. Help me, God, to be someone who will live a life of impact. Anyone else? This is your moment. Don't let it pass by. Now, here comes the tough part. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come forward so that we can lay hands on you and pray for you. So if you aren't willing to take that first step out of your seat, you're not willing to run and face a giant. So here's your opportunity to come forward and say, God, this is real. I'm not playing this time. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless. Just make your way forward. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. You've got destiny stamped all over you. Let's pray, Rock Church. Let's stay. I know that you want to get out and get your kids and get your car, but this is a holy moment. Let's stand in reverence for the commitment these guys have made, because this is more significant, one of the most significant decisions they'll ever make. Getting saved, often it's all about me. My life's a wreck. I need to be rescued. But when you stand and say, God, use my life now, it's not about what I get out of it. It's about what Jesus gets out of my life. This is about throwing it all in and saying, all the chips, pushing them to the center and saying, Jesus, my bet's on you. I'm not betting on the world. I'm not betting on my intelligence. I'm not betting on my good looks. I'm certainly not betting on my good looks. But we're betting on Jesus, that he has called us to do something significant with our lives, and he's going to show us what that means. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for these. Thank you that you've spoken to their heart, that you've called them individually. And I pray now that you would begin to give them clarity. You would begin to show them and speak to them. May your word come alive like it's never come alive to them before. May you give them dreams at night and visions of you. May they get a sense of mission for what you want to do. Spark their imagination, captivate their imagination for what you can do with their life. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, anoint them, empower them, and then launch them, God. And we as a church, we want to commit to be behind them, Lord, to help them and support them in any way that we can. God, would you use our lives to have an impact on San Diego, California, America, and around the world. May in our lifetime, may we see the gospel go to all 195 countries. And we trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you guys. You want to make your way with the guys to the prayer room back here. We want to lay hands on you, help give you some guidance. Thank you, guys. God bless you.